I was told not to preach, but I would like to just open with a word of prayer. We welcome you here, Lord, our Almighty Father. We just pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and that my story that I share would glorify you through what you've done for me. In Jesus' name, amen. So, hello, I'm Klein. I have actually been here. First of all, can everyone hear me? You're all good. I'm glad to know we're not the only people who have sound problems, because we always hang our head in shame when stuff doesn't work. Especially I'm on the sound team and it's everyone just looks at the back and, come on. So I have been here before because my grandparents actually attended this church, Bob and Eileen Kidner. They were members here, and actually the last time we were here was when we said farewell to my grandfather. So I am very emotional when I stand up and do speeches at anywhere. I love to speak, but I do burst into tears every now and then, so bear with me. Okay, so I've written everything down to try to keep it short and to the point, but here we go. I'm with you today to share hopefully a not too long story of last year and what happened to me. To start us off, I'd like to bring your attention to a quote by David Crowder. It's a part of his song that popped into my playlists last year when I was going through all of this. And it seems very apt since you're going through the month of prayer. It goes a little something like this. I've seen miracles come from feeble words. I've seen hospital rooms turned into cathedrals. I've seen freedom come to the prisoner. You can't tell me that prayer doesn't work. You'll see shortly that first line is so apt in my story, because when we're looking through the lens of prayer, you'll see that my feeble words turned into something glorious, something miraculous. Do we have the... Okay, cool. And let me just test. This is going to be... It helped to turn it on. Okay, well, I'll signal you if you want to change, but okay. So, the day was the 17th of August, 2024, and we had a men's breakfast as we do every year at Wessel Presby, and it looked like that. It was a beautiful morning. The format was the same every year. We would go down to Pirates Club by the Suncoast Casino there. We'd all meet and we'd do an activity. So if you wanted to cycle, you would cycle with a group of men. If you wanted to go run, if you wanted to go and surf. And that day, I chose I was going to go surfing. Okay. After this, you would meet back at the clubhouse. You would have someone share a word with you and you would share a meal together. So I'm a bodyboarder, which is not to be confused with the Vali version of boogie boarding. I don't just go in a straight line, you go with the wave. And I had done this all through my school career and varsity as well, but not so much in the recent times of marriage and children. So it's always good to get down into the waves or to have an excuse to. So there was about five of us who decided we were going to go and surf. And normally what happens is because we do this every year, someone will just say a prayer before we go out into the ocean. And today, no one was doing that. So I jumped in with what seemed meaningless at the time, but these were my words. Lord, please protect those of us who haven't been out here in a while from dying. To which I received some loud amens, because I believe there were only two of us that had actually frequented the ocean that year. So these are my feeble words to God, a nothing prayer, a throwaway line, but little did I know. As I said, this is the photo I took in the morning of that breakfast, and I sent this to my brother before I went out, showing him how miserably small the waves were, but how beautiful the day was and how grateful I was for it. We paddled out, and it wasn't too bad for being not water fit, but it was because of the small size of the waves. It was tiny. For those of you who don't know, so 2 feet sounds very small. It is very small. Measure the wave from the back, it's not very large. I've been in way bigger when I was smaller, when I was in high school and things, not scared of the ocean. Now I am a bit more scared of the ocean. But it wasn't that big. We had about 1 or 2 hours surf out there, and I always find that no matter how dismal it is, if it's rainy, if it's windy, if it's choppy, it's always good to be out in God's creation and just to be able to soak it up, even just sitting on your board out there. So at this stage, everyone had decided they would eventually go in, and they left me out there by myself. They waited on the beach for a while, but for some reason there was a huge lull, and I couldn't make it in, so I was waiting and paddling, trying to get onto a wave, but eventually everyone had left the beach and left me by myself. Eventually I managed to get a wave. It was a miserable one. It was nothing special. But I was about to find out that this was a life-changing wave. I took off, and I tried to get into a little barrel to make something of it on my way in. The wave closed over me and picked me up and threw me. This is pretty standard. I'm used to it. You normally get thrown straight onto your back into the sand, and you come up for air afterwards. But today was different. This little wave decided to twist me around and to throw me headfirst into the sand. I felt every vertebra in my body coil up like a spring until eventually I heard what sounded like a gunshot in the back of my skull. This, I would later find out, was my C1 vertebra cracking and popping open. It's starting already. I immediately felt like this was the end. I'm dead. I'm done for. Thanks, my boy. Bobbing in the ocean, face down, with my arms out wide, lifeless, with no one to pull me out. Everyone had gone in and there was no one on the shore. At this stage, I thought, I'm not able to move. This is me. With breath running out, and after what felt like forever, I came to the realization that I could move my fingers. And I actually wasn't dead. And I wasn't going to die. I grabbed my leash, pulled my board towards me, climbed onto it, and let the waves wash me in slowly to shore. So at this point, I'd like to point out that we can start a tally of how many times I nearly died. That was one. I got out the ocean, and I felt a tight neck. No pain, just stiff, tight neck. So the first thing I did was stand up and push on both sides to make sure that I stretched it out, which later we'll find out, which was number two, nearly died. Because if I had pushed slightly too hard, my bones would have given way and my spinal cord would have been severed. I noticed at that stage that I was bleeding heavily from my head. As you can see in this picture, I've got a big roasty there, which was, funny enough, became like the whole world to the nurses at the at the hospital. They just wanted to dress this thing, but there was more important things ahead of them. I went up from the beach, past the clubhouse, where everyone kept shouting to me, "Your head's bleeding, are you okay?" To which I replied, "Yeah, I'm fine, I'm just going to go get changed." So here comes number three. I climbed out of my wetsuit, which, as you know, is quite a mission to get out of, and then I put on all my clothes in the parking lot, which, as you know, you've got to jiggle around. So that's number three. I could have done something terrible over there. At this point, I'd just like to thank God for the wonderful common grace of adrenaline, because I wasn't feeling anything. I was shocked, but I wasn't feeling any pain. It's amazing to have this thing that's gone on inside your body, but to not even realize how severe it is. I went inside and I ordered my coffee. Lifeguard was having a cup, and he asked me what had happened. I told him. Immediately he rushed to his vehicle, pulled out the foam collar, which you see over there, put it on me, and put some mercurochrome on my head, and he said, you need to go to the hospital immediately. To which I responded, I think I just need a chiro. And he said, no, you don't. You're not going to the chiro. You're going to the hospital. So I did what any man would do, and I got my coffee and my breakfast, and I went up to hear what someone had to share with us upstairs. I messaged my wife with this photo to say, don't worry, everything's fine. I've just hit the sandbank, but it's just a roasty on my head. I had my breakfast, I listened to the word that was shared, and I had a few chats. Once I was done, I had this unsettling feeling that I should not drive home. For some reason, my dad had got a lift with someone else, and so I asked him, and he lifted me home. On the way home, he said he'll drop me off at the hospital and put my car at my place. This was number four, as something severe could have happened in the car on the way home. No offense to my dad, but he pretty much dropped me in the casualty and said, see you later. Clearly, neither of us knew how severe my injury was. I went in for a CT scan, and at this point, God's amazing gift of adrenaline wore off. I can see in the back there that was me having my breakfast. Someone snuck a photo of me because they were concerned and sent it to my wife. But there's me having breakfast with a broken neck. So, just got to find my place. When it came to getting this scan, the CT scan, I was lowered into the bed by the nurse, and at that point, I was in severe agony. My neck, I couldn't handle the pain. My eyes were watering. When I came out of the scan, I saw my parents and immediately broke down. There was just too much pain to bear. After a short while, the doctor broke the news to me, and this was seemed like a common comment that was given to us by nurses, by doctors, by everyone. Some higher power is looking out for you. You have broken your neck. It's, in fact, your C1, the one that right underneath your skull, and the neurologist is on her way. You are very lucky to be alive. Jen arrived, and it all started to sink in. I could have been with the Lord. I could have never held my beautiful wife again. I could have never seen my amazing boys. I was overwhelmed, and uncontrollable sobbing ensued. There should be a picture of my scan here. If you just go back there, there we go. I had a laser pointer for this very reason. Okay, you can't see on the screen there, but on the right-hand side, there we go. There's where the break is, and that red arrow is pointing to my spinal cord. The most common outcome of this injury is that there's a peg at the top, which normally snaps off and goes straight into your spinal cord, and you are quadriplegic. I've lost my place again, sorry. That first night in hospital was the most scary experience of my life. The neurologist, which turned out to be an amazing woman of God, said to me, each point of the journey where we were tallying, I was telling you 1, 2, 3, 4, every point of the journey where God had protected me, she pointed out every time, you should have died there, you should have died there. The impact, number one, when you stretched, getting out the water, number two, getting out of your wetsuit into clothes, number three, number four, driving to the hospital. You could have had a small fender bender or hit a bump too abruptly, and that would have been game over. She said that the most common as I said before, the most common outcome of this injury is quadriplegia or death. I am very blessed that none of my neck muscles tore, because this would have made my recovery far longer. Sitting in high care, almost upright, she told me that first night to keep wiggling my fingers and toes, because by morning, I may wake up with no function, or feeling, or no movement at all. I was told to rest, but how could you after this news? I didn't want to go to sleep. Would I ever be able to hold my children again, or hug my wife? Would I ever be able to function normally in everyday life? My Bible study members arrived at this point, and from there on you could see the power of prayer as well as the church family around me and their action. I remember clearly, once they had all left, crying out to God that night, sobbing my eyes out, pleading for one more hug, one more hold, one last time. The next day, after not much sleep at all, despite being heavily medicated, I could still feel, I could still move. The neuro did a series of motor and sensory tests and checks, and she was happy. She moved me out of high care. We're nearly there. I was there for a further 2 nights, and then home for a 13-week, plus minus, it was almost 15 weeks as well, recovery at home in a neck brace in my bed. Sleep was painful, as I could only lie in one position, and my back would continually cramp and spasm. Jen had to shower me, which sounds amazing, but it's a scary experience, because every time we had to take off this comfortable collar and put on the waterproof one, and every time I cried because I thought something would happen to me. The church family covered me in prayer continuously, and then the meals, the lifts, the people who surrounded us to assist us. I'm so grateful. My wife was incredible. My boys were incredible. My parents were incredible. My church family was incredible, beyond incredible. My work was incredible. They continued to pay me, even though I'd run out of sick leave. And my God, He was and is and always will be incredible. He spared me from an horrific death, drowning alone in the water. He spared my wife from having to look after me if I was 100% immobile and dependent upon her. I am now 100% back to normal. Yeah, praise God. I'm living my life as I was before. I'm even back to playing squash. I don't know why God spared me from all of this. I probably won't figure it out till I meet Him face to face and ask Him. But I am so grateful. I'm grateful for my life, as well as this humbling experience, the many blessings that He pours out on me continually. So in closing, just coming back to that song that I was listening to from David Crowder, I said a couple of feeble words, a throwaway prayer. God did the impossible. He did the miraculous. Our prayers don't have to be fancy. They don't have to go on for long. They don't have to be eloquent or precise. God hears them all. So I'd like to leave you with the last verse of that exact same song, and to encourage you in your focus on prayer. So every night, there by your bed, when you fold your hands and you bow your head, not a single word you've ever said is in vain. Because he hears everything. God hears every prayer. So don't stop talking to him. Thank you.